From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. Egypt has entered a six-day of protests against the rule of President Hosni Mubarak. Demonstrators are again gathering in Cairo, and NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson says fighter jets are flying low over the square that's become a focal point of the protests.
Okay, I'm at the Semiramis Hotel, and what I'm seeing... that's gone on here, all the protests, all the fighting.
NPR's Soraya Sarhadi Nelson reporting from Cairo. The U.S. Embassy in Egypt is updating its warning to Americans. It's now urging them to leave as soon as possible. The State Department also says it's authorized the voluntary departure of dependents of diplomats and non-essential workers. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has made his first public comments on the unrest in Egypt. He says Israel must exercise responsibility and restraint. Arab countries are calling for stability as Egypt's uprising is felt across the region. Here's NPR's Deborah Amos in Riyadh.
This is a business day in the Middle East, but Egypt's banks remain closed. A precaution, say government officials. But when connections to the international communications grid are shut down, trade is nearly impossible. Internet traffic has slowed across the region because Egypt is the crossroads for the fiber optic network, explained a Saudi computer expert. Many of Egypt's social media activists have found ways around the unprecedented blackout, using landlines and fax machines to get messages out. The government failed to shut down one internet provider, so calls went out on Facebook and Twitter to remove web passwords so the signal could be shared. Deborah Amos, NPR News, Riyadh.
Regular Tunisians are still in the midst of their own revolution, but they're cheering on Egyptians as they protest the government. Eleanor Beardsley reports that in the Tunisian capital, people say they're proud that their revolution is catching on in the Arab world.
The streets of Tunis are calmer now, and people are beginning to go back to work and to their daily activities. But everyone is aware that the revolution that started here 2 weeks ago is beginning to catch on across the Arab world. Tunisians like 25-year-old Raisi Laribi said they have much in common with Egyptians: poverty, the lack of free speech, and a president who won't let go of power. Do you have any advice for the Egyptian people?
Keep on. Go on. There is freedom tomorrow or after tomorrow.
Laribi says he hopes the Egyptians will overthrow Mubarak, just as the Tunisians threw off their president, Ben Ali. For NPR News, I'm Eleanor Beardsley in Tunis.
And from Washington, this is NPR News. Hundreds of South Africans prayed today for former President Nelson Mandela. They filled a historic Roman Catholic church in Soweto today. Mandela, who is 92, was released from the hospital on Friday. Doctors say he was treated for an acute respiratory tract infection. Mandela was the country's first black president after serving 27 years in prison for his fight against South Africa's apartheid government. Serbia's Novak Djokovic has won the men's title at the first Grand Slam tennis tournament of the year. As Stuart Cohen reports from Sydney, Djokovic beat Britain's Andy Murray in straight sets to win his second Australian Open.
Novak Djokovic was in command of the match from the start, looking at times more like an acrobat than a tennis player, jumping, sliding, and spinning to return everything Andy Murray could throw at him. Murray made Djokovic work hard for the 6-4 win in the first set, but Murray looked like a defeated man from the start in the second, as Djokovic went up 5-0 before finally winning 6-2. Murray came alive in the third, and the match looked like it might go beyond 3 sets, but Djokovic was unstoppable and just seemed to be everywhere on the court, winning the third set 6-3. This is the second Australian Open title for Novak Djokovic, having also won it back in 2008. For Andy Murray, the loss was especially bitter. He lost last year's final in straight sets to Roger Federer and has yet to win a Grand Slam tournament. For NPR News, I'm Stuart Cohen in Sydney.
Sudan could soon be split in two if the first official primary results hold. Southern Sudan's referendum commission says more than 99% of voters in the south opted for secession, with 99% voter turnout. Final results are due in February. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News.